The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashah Shelach. Last week, we gave a shiur in regards to the mitzvah of the Chatzetzeres in Parshas Baalei Secho, where the Torah tells us that there are various times when the Kohanim would blow from the silver trumpets, the Chatzetzeres. One of those times mentioned was V'chisavo'u milchoma, this is in Baalei Secho, Yud, Posuk Te, V'chisavo'u milchoma b'sechem, when you will go to war in your land, al atzar atzer eschem, against the enemy which is causing you trouble, V'harei eisem b'chatzetzeros, that you shall blow in the trumpets, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem elokeichem, and you will be remembered before Hashem your God, v'neishatem oyveichem, and He will save you from your enemies. And we explain this, that the Gemara comes to tell us, and Rashi, that al atzar atzer eschem comes to include any type of trouble which comes into your land, be it plague, or drought, famine, and so forth, that Cholilo should come, but if it would, then there's a mitzvah to blow the Chatzetzeres. And we ask, what does it mean that through this you will be remembered before Hashem and He will save you? And we brought from the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, where the Rambam says that when we cry to Hashem and we blow the trumpets for peronies, for such catastrophes or tragedies which come to the world, this calls to our attention that it is our deeds which are causing these tragedies and catastrophes. And if we become aware of this, then we are aware that we must change our deeds and change our ways in order to prevent these tragedies from occurring. This is what the Rambam explains. So, therefore, the explanation is that when there's a har hatzeder eschem, when there's a peronius that comes upon you, upon the nation, you shall blow in the trumpets. Through this, we will be aware that einu kiminega olam, it's not coming upon us because this is a natural cycle. Like many times we say, a drought comes because it's the natural cycle, or war comes because it's inevitable, and so forth and so on. Lei min minigo eilom, or min minig hateva, but they are coming upon us because our deeds are causing such actions. And therefore, if we will become aware of this, we will want to change our deeds, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem elokeichem, and we will be remembered before Hashem, v'neishatem oyveichem, and He will come and He will save us from our enemies. So the underlying point is that a person must be aware that there's a link between what happens in the world and his actions. Catastrophes and tragedies, peronies, which take place in the world, or which take place to the nation, are not detached from man's deeds, but to the contrary, are totally dependent on man's deeds. His deeds are causing them, and it's within his power, the power of his deeds, to eradicate them. This is the fundamental point, the foundation of this mitzvah of the Chatzetzeres. Then, last week, we brought a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis. The Mishnah is in Perek He. Mishnah Yud Aleph, or in some Sforim it's Mishnah Ches, where the Mishnah tells us, Shiva mini peronies boyin la'olam. There are seven types of tragedies heaven forbid, that come to the world. Al shivei gufi aveira, because of seven categories of aveiros, of transgressions. So here again we see the same principle, that there are seven classifications of tragedies that come, not because of pure cycles or coincidence, but because of seven categories of aveiros. And then the Mishnah lists them. Miksosan maasrin or miksosan einan maasrin. If some of the people will give their maasris, the maasris are the tenth of their crops which they give to the Levi, and some do not. Rov shel batzeris bo. Then a drought which is caused, a famine which is caused by drought will come. Miksosin reivin or miksosin svein, which will affect some of the people and some of the people that will not affect. That's the first one. The second one is Gomru Shalela Aser. If all of the people will not give the tenth of their crops to the Levi, then Rav Shal Muhumabo. Then a famine which will cause panic in the land to all of the people will come. Vishal Batsoris Bo. Ushalelitalas a chala, and if it goes further where they will not give chala, chala is the portion of the bread which they make that they must give to the Kahanim, then Rav Shal Kliya Bo. Then a famine of devastation will come. The Mishnah continues, Devar Bola Eilam. The fourth type of tragedy is Devar. Devar is plague and pestilence. That comes to the world, Al Mises Amuris Beteris Shalainim Salavezdin. Excuse me. When there are death penalties to be given out, and they are not given out by the Bezdin. Actually, last week, I explained this to mean, if there were death penalties, Shalainim Salavezdin, if there were death penalties that were supposed to be given out through the heavenly court. And that's how some explain. But I found others explaining this way, which works in much better with the explanation of the Mishnah. If there are death penalties that the Bezdin is supposed to mete out, and they do not, and if we do not conduct ourselves properly with the Perish feast, with the fruits of the seventh year, then plague and pestilence comes to the world. Cherev bala elam. Sword comes into the world. Al inu adin. If there's this delay of justice. Ivas adin. Distortion of justice. Vahalameirim b'teiru shalei kahalocha. And when people will render verdicts, Torah verdicts, which are not in accordance to Torah law. That was the fifth. The sixth, Chayaro, wild beasts, Bola Elam, will come to the world, Al Shvur Shov, Al Chil Hashem. When people are not careful by swearing in the name of Hashem, they swear in the name of Hashem in vain, Al Chil Hashem, and through the desecration of Hashem's name. And finally, Golus Bola Elam, exile comes to the world, Al Evdi Averizora, through idolatry, Gila Arayis, acts of immorality, adultery and incense, Shvichas Domim, the spilling of blood, Vel Shmitas Oretz, and if the seventh year, where the land is supposed to be kept fallow, is not kept. So we have seven types of tragedies, of disasters, which will come to the world through seven categories of averus. Last week, we explained the first. This week, I would like to continue to explain the others from the Mishnah. Now, in order to understand this properly, we mentioned a few fundamental principles from the Maral Miprag. Firstly, is Puranias, disaster does not come to the world because it's supposed to come, because it's part of the creation. Disaster and tragedy is an imperfection. It's a deviation from what the Almighty created. He created the world to be perfect. It would be like a master clockmaker makes a clock and it doesn't work, or it blows up. This is not the work of a master clockmaker. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, it was created perfect. Vayara Hashem es kol asher oso. He saw all that he made, and he said, Tov mi'od. Not only it's Tov, not only it's good, it's very good. So the world he created was perfect. This that we find, plague, and sickness, and drought, and wild beasts, and sword, and golus, and exile, these are not from the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of his world, of his making. But these are destructive forces from people which create this. A master clockmaker can make a perfect clock, and someone can come along and with neglect or intent, he can destroy it. So that's the first principle. We mentioned last week that we're so accustomed to disaster, to tragedy, and so forth, we think this is all part of the world. We think this is the way the world is supposed to be. This is not true. The world was not made to be that way. These are the destructive works of the deeds of the Rishoyim, of wicked people. Therefore, when we see tragedy or disaster come to the world, we must realize this is a deviation. This is a Yetziyah min HaSeder, a deviation from the perfection of the world, from the way the world was made to run. Another principle is the mitzvahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, and which he gave to the entire world, this was to be Shemer, to guard the Seder Olam, the order of the world. Every structure has its confines, has its form. And these are the mitzvahs which were given to man. When he keeps the mitzvahs, then he walks in a straight line. If he doesn't keep mitzvahs, then he starts to deviate to various extremities. And he goes off course. And the world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created actually was, we could say ideologically, was a seven-sided world. Because he created it during the Shiva Shemei HaBreishis in 7 days. And therefore he gave 7 mitzvahs to Bnei Noach, to the sons of Noach. Each mitzvah creating a gvul, creating a limitation in order to guard the structure of this perfect world that he made. To Israel, which walks a line of even more perfection, he gave 613 mitzvahs. This we've gone into in the past. But the basic mitzvahs of the world, he gave 7. So this is why the Mishnah tells us that Shiva mine poranies boleilam al shiva gufi avera, that there are 7 great tragedies that come to the world for 7 categories of averas. This is the significance of the number 7. The first one that we learned last week, well, actually it covers 3. That if the people, some of the people give their ma'aser and some do not, that's the first one. The second one is none of the people give their ma'aser, the 10% of the crops, to the levi,
And the third is that they will not even give challah, the portion of the bread, to the Kohanim. So this creates a distortion in the world. What kind of distortion? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olam Chesed Yibone, He created a world of Chesed. There must be Chesed in the world. Like we learn in the Mishnah, from the early Mishnahs of Sech Tovis, Al Gimel Dvarim Ma'ele Ma'emei, that the world stands on three pillars, and one is Al Gimilis Chasodim. There must be Chesed in the world. This is the world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. If there's Chesed in the world, it's in its perfection. If there's no Chesed in the world, this creates a distortion in the world. If the world runs off course, then we can expect Peronius. The byproduct will be a further tragedy, a further distortion. And also in the line of Chesed, where Parnosa will not come to the world. There'll be famine. And Parnosa will not come. And we went into it more, where the entire Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent on the Chesed of the world. And if there is no Chesed amongst man, then the Parnosa does not come back to him. This is what we studied last time. Now let's continue with this. That is the next group, which would be the fourth, is Devar Bala Elam. Plague and pestilence come to the world when there are various death penalties which are supposed to be meted out by the courts, and they are not. In the Torah it states, "Uviato harom ikirbecho." You shall destroy evil from amongst you. Zumitzvah essay, this is a positive commandment. How is it performed? The Gemara states, this is performed, the Torah tells us, by eradicating the wicked, the evil, which are amongst you. And therefore the Torah gave, in certain cases, the obligation upon the people through the proper court system to destroy and to kill various criminals in order that evil should not remain amongst you. Uviato harom ikirbecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you shall destroy evil from amongst you. And these are the Dalet Mishnas Bezdin. Bezdin was given the authority of doing away with various criminals. This is the capital punishment. Now this is a mitzvah. This is not an option. It's not that we have an option to do this if we want to. But this is a mitzvah, this is imperative. Because people, you take for example murderers. Someone is a murderer in the first degree. So this is a resha. This is a wickedness which is amongst you. And this is shelei keseder olam. This is not in or in within the perfection of the world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He didn't create life that it should be destroyed by others. And if this flourishes amongst you, then this causes a great distortion in the world. So Al-Misis Shalei Nimsar Levezdin, and those capital punishments which the courts are supposed to mete out, and they do not, Devar Bala Elam, plague and pestilence comes to the world. The purpose of the plague is a double purpose. One is the world cannot, the order of the world cannot tolerate such evil within it. And therefore, it throws the world off course. It's a distortion in the world. If it's a distortion, then it's like a clock. A clock that has something wrong with its mechanism, doesn't keep good time. The world cannot function properly. And disease and plague will come to the world. This is one reason. There's a second reason for this also. And that is that the world will try to rectify its problem. It's being distorted. There's evil in the world. And the world will try to rectify its problem. And since the courts have not stamped out this evil, then the world itself will stamp out this evil. And therefore, plague and pestilence comes to the world to destroy. It's interesting to note that the human body has a similar mechanism. That if people aren't careful and they neglect their body, so the body itself will try, because of its great desire for survival, to destroy what was caused to the body through human neglect. But there's one further point. Magefa, Dever, the Gemara tells us, is when the Mashkis comes, destructive forces come to bring a plague, and it's not Mafkin Ben Tevelera. When plague comes to the world, it doesn't distinguish between good and bad. Heaven forbid. For example, we find in Mitzrayim in Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Makas Becheiris, he brought a plague to kill off all the firstborn. So he told all of the Hebrews, all of the Jews, that night, Al Teitzu Min Pesach HaBayis, you shall not go out of your homes, because there's danger on the streets. But the Malach HaMoves, the plague was sent to kill the Egyptians, not the Jews. Since the destructive force was granted permission to destroy, then he destroys across the board. He doesn't distinguish between good and bad. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, stay off the streets and stay in your house where you'll have protection. And that's why, heaven forbid, when a plague comes, everyone must be very, very careful and take all kind of precautions. And he cannot say, look, I'm innocent, it will only affect those who are guilty. Because once plague comes to the world, Shuvein Amavchin doesn't distinguish between good and bad. So we find that since evil was allowed to flourish within your community, so the world will come back to destroy this evil in order to protect itself, but even in a greater meter, even in a greater measure, where with the good, with the bad, it takes the good also. It's interesting to note we find the same thing in the human body. If people will neglect the human body, and all kind of germs and other alien poisons will enter into the body, so the body will have to take its own means to drive this out. And it has its means. But many times in these means to destroy what is the enemy to the body, it destroys also healthy germs or healthy organs. And this is similar. So therefore, again we see the major underlying principle that Peronius, disaster that will come to the world, is because of our deeds. Not it's merely happening. It's merely a cycle of events or natural phenomenon, but because of our deeds. And the world was made to be perfect. and we are causing, or we are allowing evil to flourish, so this causes a distortion in the world, which will cause a second distortion of the world, where the world will not run properly, but never a plague will come. And also the world will try to purify itself, so it will bring plague to eradicate the evil. But meanwhile, in a greater measure, where Shuvein Amachin Bein Tev L'Ra, where even the innocent, heaven forbid, will be affected. States also Al Peder Shvis. This is a peronius, this is a punishment which comes also when the Ampeder Shvis, when the fruits of the seventh year were not dealt with properly. What does this mean? We were not allowed to till, plow or till or plant the soil on the seventh year in Eretz Yisrael. Now even the crops which grew by themselves, which we are allowed to eat, but these fruits we were commanded to apply no ownership to. That we have to take these fruits, all of these crops, and be mafka them. Make them hefker, make them ownerless. That everyone can come and partake from them. The Jew, the non-Jew, the animal, everyone can come. We have to take them out of our house, relinquish all ownership, and make them hefker. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded on these fruits. If we do not do this, then the punishment that comes for this is, heaven forbid, people are made hefker. They're made ownerless. Because this is what happens when plague comes to the world. Everyone has a protection. Everyone has a particular mazel and hashgocha where he's protected. But heaven forbid, when plague comes to the world, it's not mafkin, it doesn't distinguish between good and evil. So it's as if the people become hefker, they become ownerless without any supervision or control. And this is because of our acts, that when we were supposed to make all of these fruits ownerless, we did not do that. So this is the retribution which comes. The next pronius, the next punishment which is listed, is cherev bole eilam, sword comes to the world, al inu hadin val ivas hadin val hamerim b'teri shleka locho, for the delay of justice, and for the distortion of justice, and for those who render decisions in the name of Torah, which are not in accordance to the laws of Torah. Now all of these items in this category, this all are minias hadin, the holding back of law and justice for the world, those mentioned in this category. Just as we mentioned that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, in the world there must be chesed, there must be goodness and kindliness. In his world there must be din ha-mishpat, there must be justice. We have a Mishnah at this end of the first perek, the first chapter of Masechet Ovis, Ashleshet Vorim Ha'elam Kaim, that the world stands on three things. Aladin, and one is mentioned, justice. There must be justice in the world. People think justice is something good to have. It is something very lofty. It's something to strive for. Civilized nations and people have this. It's something very good. Now, this is true, but this is not the entire truth. Justice is not merely something very good and something to strive for, but justice is imperative. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created it as a world of justice. If justice is removed from the world, it would be like removing an important piece of mechanism from the perfect clock. The world cannot function without justice. It cannot continue without justice. This is a vital organ in the makeup of the world. And justice is from the highest levels that were given to this world, as it states, "V'amishpat l'Elokim hu." Justice belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those who are responsible to see that justice thrives in the world are the Bote Dinim, the Sanhedrin, the courts. They are the guardians of justice, of law and order and justice. Now justice, Mishpat, Din, how do we define this? The definition is tzedek. As it states, but tzedek tishpet amisecho. You shall judge your fellow man with tzedek. What does tzedek mean? Well, this is the word we have, tzadik. Tzedek means yosher, with perfect uprightness. Now people sometimes make a mistake. They think justice means being kind to the person. It's not justice. To the contrary, we are forbidden by the Torah to be kind to people in the court of law. We are not allowed to recognize any individual in the court of law, but all individuals must be equal. States Leisahed Adal. A poor man comes in. We're speaking about this dispute, see? You must not confuse tzedek with stoker. A poor man comes in and he asks for some money. He asks for kindliness. This is the mitzvah of tzok, stoker, and chesed. It's also from the greatest mitzvahs. But if a poor man comes into a court of law with a dispute with another man, they have a dispute over an ownership of a certain article, and the judge says, look, this man is rich and the other man is poor, I'll lean the law towards his favor. That's kilkul hadin, that's distortion of justice. And on that there's a leisaseh, negative commandment, leisahed edal. We are not allowed to honor the poor when it comes to justice. The same thing, we are not allowed to honor the rich. Two people come before us. One is very wealthy and is a very distinguished man of great repute in the community, and the other one is not. And the judge will say, look, it doesn't pass. It's not right that he should lose the case. It's only right that we should favor him. That's a negative commandment. That's distortion of justice. It states that you are to recognize no man in the eyes of the law. The fact is, a judge must disqualify himself. If he feels that he recognizes one over the other, he must disqualify himself from the case and let another judge rule. Leisoguru mipneish. One man is very powerful. You are not allowed to be intimidated by anyone when it comes to the eyes of the law, the judge. Also, l'rachim badim. You're not allowed to show compassion to one and not the other. Justice means the perfection of the rights of people. And when two people stand before the dayonim, the judges, they must be totally equal in his eyes. If they are not, and they must be judged only in accordance to their claims and their counterclaims. And if they are not, this is a kilkul hadin. This is destruction, a distortion of the deen, of the deen in the mishpat. So this is what it means, tzaddik, tzaddik. Yosha, someone who walks in the perfect, upright path where he does not lean to the right, nor does he lean to the left. It is for this reason that the sages always refer to the deen as cutting the law. For example, chete chesadin, gezar din. The word gezer, gezar din, gezar means to cut. Gozer. Posek esadin. Posek means to cut. Why? because the judge must cut in order to reach the true justice. The judge has to be like a surgeon. He has to must cut with a surgical knife perfectly according to the lines of Mishpat, of justice. Not to the right, not to the left. Chaytech es hadid. Now we can understand what it states. Cherev bala elam. A sword will come to the world if the Mishpat, if the judgment, if justice in the world is distorted. It is our duty to cut with a knife in accordance to the lines of justice. If we fulfill that, then there's deen in the world, there's justice in the world, and the world runs in perfect order. If this is absent from the world, then another sword will come to the world. Another knife will come to the world. But this will not be the knife of justice, this will be the knife of distortion, the knife of destruction. If through our deeds we eliminate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice from the world, which is the knife which cuts a perfect law, a perfect justice, then Cherev Bala Elam, sword will come to the world, another type of knife, which will be a knife of destruction. Then we go further. Chayor Bala Elam. This is the sixth. Chayor Bala Elam. Asfuas Shov Velchil Lashem. Chayor are evil beasts. Evil beasts will come to the world when there is a Shvuas Shov, when flourishes amongst the world false oaths, or in the name of Hashem, or the name of Hashem is taken in vain. Valchil Hashem, and desecration of Hashem's name. Firstly, what does a wild beast represent? A chayaro, a wild beast, is something that firstly is meshuna, something which is not common. We don't find, we read in the paper all of the time that if people go into the domains of the wild beasts, they go on safaris and they go out into the bush and out into the wilderness, and they might be attacked by a wild beast. But that doesn't mean wild beasts, bala elam, come into the world. You're going into their world. But usually we don't find wild beasts should come into civilization and attack civilization. When this happens, this is a deviation from the norm. So firstly, a wild beast represents something which is alien, something which is strange to civilization. Excuse me. It's even more strange than cherev, than sword. It's more common that you should have foreign enemies coming into a nation's land for war, then the land should be attacked by wild beasts. So the wild beasts represent something which is very alien and which casts a fear, a tremendous fear on people. People have a tremendous fear from wild beasts. Why does this phenomena come to the world? Ashfu Shav Velchil Hashem. When people swear in the name of Hashem falsely or in vain, or if they desecrate Hashem's name. We find, even though one might not think so, that to take an oath in the name of Hashem falsely or in vain is one of the most severest averes in the Torah. Actually, the Gemara brings and the Rambam brings that even though taking an oath in Hashem's name falsely, we do not find a heavy punishment given from the courts, from the human courts, because a person is only doing this with dibur, only with speech. Afal pikein min achamurisein, but nevertheless, this is categorized as from the severest of avirus. And it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, And it's not on many Avedas in which he says this. In the Ten Commandments, Ki lo yenake, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forgive. He will not forgive he who lo yenake Hashem es asher yiso eshmei bashov. He will not forgive he who swears by his name in vain. The Chazal tell us, Vizdazdeya kol elam kulei. The whole world trembled when that commandment came down from Har Sinai, Leisiso Hashem Hashem Elokech Lashov, that you shall not swear by my name falsely. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forgive on, and therefore it's considered mina chamuris, from the most severest averus. Why is it? Because this is a desecration to Hashem's name. If a person makes a promise and he doesn't keep it, alright, so then he's desecrating his reputation. But if he makes a promise in the name of Hashem and he doesn't keep it, then he's desecrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. The same thing would be if a person uses Hashem's name unnecessarily. Like you have a lot of people that use Hashem's name unnecessarily, or they curse in Hashem's name. You're taking his name and you're desecrating it. Hashem Meir Aleitzim, there is nothing closer to any entity than the name itself. So this is the ultimate in not fearing Hashem, not fearing his name. We mentioned a while back that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so sacred by Jews and cast such a fear on them that it was common. It was common in the last generations that Jews many times would forfeit great sums of money, because in order to get this money they would have to take an oath in the name of Hashem, and they would refuse to do so. Even though there's no Avera to take an oath in the name of Hashem, if it's true. Adadaba, to the contrary, states Bishmi Ashoveya. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that use my name to swear for the truth. Don't use the name of idolatry. That's no Avera. The Avera is Leisiso Hashem Elokecha Bashov, that you shall not swear falsely or in vain. But still the name of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to swear on his name, was such a traumatic experience for a Jew that it was common they would forfeit huge sums of money if the only way they could get it was by taking a shvur. So therefore, when there's a proliferation in the world of oaths being taken in Hashem's name in vain, this is a desecration of his name, this is a lack of the fear of his name. And the same thing, Achil Hashem HaGodl. Shvur Shav V'Achil Hashem. The desecration of his name. And part and parcel of the world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should be in the world and feared in the world with the utmost fear and sacredness. If this is lacking, then Chayiro Bola Eilom, a certain type of plague comes to the world, will all of a sudden the wild beasts proliferate and they attack and they raid civilization and they cast a tremendous fear on the inhabitants, because since the element of fear for the king of the world became absent, and the world now goes off course and is distorted, so now a fear of something which is a distorted element in the world, something which is alien in the world, comes into the world. And therefore, Chayaro Bola Eilam, wild beasts come to the world. There's a second level that we can understand this even a bit better. In the Torah, it tells us by the creation of the world. In Bereshis Aleph, Pasuk Chof Vav, Vayim Elokim, Hashem said, Nasa Odom Betzalmenu Kidmusenu. Let us make man in our image. Hashem said to the angels, let us make man in my image. V'yudu v'gas hayom. And he will go down and rule over the fish of the sea, uba eif hashamayim, and all of the birds of the heaven, uba behema, and all of the animals, uba chol ha'aretz, uba chol ha'remes, ha'remes al ha'aretz, over everything which lives on the land. So Rashi tells us, what is this word vayirdu? Yirdu, Rashi says, yesh b'loshin hazeh loshin ridui v'loshin yirido. Has two meanings. Ridui means that he will rule. He will rule with a strong hand. And yirido means that he will fall down. So there's two contrary meanings. He will rule or he will fall. Zohar, if he is what he is supposed to be, then reid b'chayis u'behemus. He will rule over all of the wild beasts and all of the animals. This means by nature, animals will be afraid of man. Leizocho, if he is not what he is supposed to be, nasi yirud lifnehem, he will fall before them. Bahachaya meshelis bay, and the animals and the beasts will rule over him. Now, when did the Almighty give the power to man to rule over all wildlife? It states, Vayem Elokim Nasodim Betzalmenu. We will make him in our image. But the fact that that man is created in the image of the Almighty, this gives him the power to rule over all of wildlife, to cast the fear over all of them. From the fact that he's in the Almighty's image. We've mentioned in the past, Tzelem Elokim, because he's in the image of Hashem, this makes him a king. Man was made Melech HaTachta, in the king of the lower world. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you and I are kings. You will be the Melech HaTachtenim, the king of the lower world, Ba'ani Melech Elyenim, I'll be the king of the upper world. He made man stand upright. How's he in the image of Hashem? He stands upright like a king. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a king, and you're a king. You will stand upright. Everything else was created to crawl like a servant. You are a king. So when man is the king he is supposed to be, then he will rule over all of the servants. But it's interesting to know that Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you will be the king of this world, and I will be the king over the higher worlds. This means that if you serve me and you recognize and fear me, then you will be the king of this world. If you will bow to me, then you will be the king of this world. But what happens if you reject my yoke? Then you no longer will be a king of this world. Therefore, Zohar, if man serves the Almighty, and he fears the king of all kings, then he was given the privilege of being the king over this world. If he's the king over this world, then all animals will bow to him. Leizochah, then it's ridui. Leizochah, but if you're not the king that you're supposed to be, you will not fear me, the king of all kings. You will not serve me and fear me. Then you no longer will be a king in this world either. If you're not a king in this world, chayim eshelis boy, the wild beast will rule over you. Therefore, if there's a proliferation of shvu shov b'chil Hashem, a false and oath, taking Hashem's name in vain and desecration of Hashem's name in the world, and this is an illustration that people do not fear the king of all kings. His name means nothing. They use it at the drop of a hat when it's ever convenient for them. They no longer have a fear for the king of all kings. then they are no longer Betzelem Elakim, they are no longer the king of the world. If they're no longer the king of the world, then Chayaro Bala Elam, wild beasts will come to the world and devour them and cast a tremendous fear over them. The Maral adds one note to this, and that is that the major powers of the world that we have found that have ruled the world from the time of creation onward, the Dalet Malchus, were illustrated in the forms of Chayaro, of wild beasts, very wild, strange-looking beasts. When Daniel the prophet, when he had his prophecy and he saw these four great, Babel and Syria and Greece, the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, he saw them in the images of great, wild, strange-looking beasts coming out of the sea. So he says this is for the same reason. Because they are an alien force, and they're like a wild beast, and they rule when Yisrael is not at the level to rule. So he says that perhaps also the sages meant also to be maramis to indicate this, that when they said Chayaro Bola Elam, when there's a desecration of Hashem's name, the wild beast comes. This means also perhaps that stronger powers are given to these four Malchies, to these four empires. And then finally we have Golus Bola Elam, exile. The seventh is exile comes to the world, exile comes to the nations, and exile comes to Klal Yisrael. In particular, we're speaking here to Yisrael. They are exiled from their land, Avdei Aveda Zorah, for idolatry, Al Gila Arayis, acts of immorality, incense, adultery, and so forth, Al Shvichas Domim, bloodshed, Al Shmitas Oretz, and for not keeping the seventh year when the land is supposed to lie fallow. It is through these four Avedas that Golus will come to the world, that Klal Yisrael will be exiled from Eretz Yisrael. Now what does this mean? Eretz Yisrael has four particular milas. The land of Eretz Yisrael, like we have mentioned many times, is not a land similar to other lands. It is different. This is something which was known always, and the Ovis knew it. Even Odom HaRishon and Noach knew this, and Shem, that Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim is different than other lands, and it's special. And in four ways, it is special. Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is on the land. He is known as Elokei Ha'aretz. What does this mean? The Gemara says, whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu oversees him with a particular eye. Like it states in the Torah, Eini Hashem, Mereshis Hashona Atzeif Hashona. The eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are on the land from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. There is a particular supervision which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives personally. The Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules all of the other lands of the world Al Yedei Sar, through an angel. But Eretz Yisrael, he watches over himself. Eini Hashem. And that's why it has Shem Hashem on it. This is what it means, Kol Ador Be'eretz Ki'ilu Yesh Le'Eleikai. You live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching right over you. All of the other lands he rules through a Sar, through a Malach. Eretz Yisrael he rules through himself. So that's the first level of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his personal care of it himself. He identifies with Eretz Yisrael himself, while with the rest of the world he identifies through an angel. A second special level in Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaKodesh. It's Eretz HaKodesh, it's Kodesh, sanctified. The land is sanctified. How do we see this? We see this in the mitzvahs HaTluis Boretz, because we see that we can grow fruit outside of Eretz Yisrael, and there's, you can eat them outright. You grow fruit in Eretz Yisrael, there's all kind of laws. There's trumas, there's maestras, there's challah, like we mentioned. All kind of laws, right, of what you have to do. Fact is, you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to be a great Talmud Chacham. The Bali Teisvashit, right, this is the Teisvashit, that were many afraid to live in Eretz Yisrael because there are so many halochas that you have to know, because the land is full of Kedusha, the land is full of sanctity. So we see the land is Kodesh, the land is sanctified. Mashenkin b'sha'arot, this we do not find in other lands. So that's the second attribute that Eretz Yisrael has. A third attribute that Eretz Yisrael has, it is called Eretz HaChaim. It's a land which gives life. V'nosati tzvi be'eretz HaChaim. And the Gemara Darshins is in Ksubis, end of Ksubis Kufyur Aleph, Omer Aleph. It's a land which gives life. Why is this? So Manal explains, because the Gemara says Eretz Yisrael is in the center of the world. And anything which is in the center of the world is always closer to the source of life. Just like we find in a person that the source of his life is his heart, and that's in the center of the person. Because extremities, it's interesting, you go into the world, you go into the extremities of the world, you find that they're not capable of being inhabited, the extremities of the world. Because extremities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created something, he always created the center as the source. So the source of life is in the center. By the extremities, the ends, this is already coming to the, away from the source of life. This is why we should always try what's brought Yesher in the middle. Eretz Yisrael is Yesher, Eretz Yisrael is in the middle of the world. And therefore, the source of life is there. It's Eretz HaChaim, it's a land which gives life. Gemara brings in Brachos, Rabbi Yechanan, who was the chief rov, the Av Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael, when he heard in Bavel that there were people living so long, he heard cases of people living long age in Bavel, he asked, he says, Ikachaya, Aricha b'Bavel, is it possible that outside of Eretz Yisrael you can live such a long life? It states, Leman Yarich Yomecha Alo Adomo, long life, length of days were given in Eretz Yisrael. This was his kasha, this was his question. How is it possible outside of Eretz Yisrael people can grow so old? So they answered him, they told him, these are people that get up every morning early and go to shul into the Beis HaMedrash, and at night again they go to the Beis HaMedrash. Or then he understood, because the Bote Kinesiyos and Bote Midroshes of Chutz Loretz have a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael that has the same Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The Torah brings it that Kedusha. So therefore, long life you get from there also. So then he understood. But otherwise he couldn't understand how could there be people living so long outside of Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz HaChayim. And then there's a fourth attribute that we find of Eretz Yisrael that we do not find in other lands, and that is, the Torah says, Eretz Leisechsar Kolbei. It's a land which lacks nothing. Now this is all speaking when Eretz Yisrael is Bishlemuse, when Eretz Yisrael is perfected the way it's supposed to be, which means that Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is benuya the way it's supposed to be. So if we don't find this today, it doesn't mean this is not Eretz Yisrael. But this is because of the Golos, because of our Averus, as you'll see. But when Eretz Yisrael is perfect, then it's an Eretz Lestekha Kolbei, the Torah tells us. It lacks nothing. Now, on no other land is it said, the Maral writes. Eretz Lestekha Kolbei is only said on Eretz Yisrael, on no other land. This means all of the other lands are Hasidim. All of the other lands lack something, but not Eretz Yisrael. So these are the four special levels and attributes that Eretz Yisrael has. Now, if there is a Avodah Zarah, if there is idolatry in the land of Eretz Yisrael, the land cannot tolerate it. Why? Because we said the first level is HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in Eretz Yisrael and he keeps his eye on Eretz Yisrael personally. If there's idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, in other words, people in Eretz Yisrael turn their backs on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and go worship other gods, this is something that the land cannot tolerate. The fact is, we find that when we will have the strength, we are obligated to destroy all idolatry from Eretz Yisrael, but this is not halacha in the rest of the world. We're not obligated to go destroy idolatry in the rest of the world, but in Eretz Yisrael we are, because the land cannot tolerate it. If idolatry proliferates in Eretz Yisrael, so just like before we said, which would create distortions in the world, this creates a distortion in Eretz Yisrael. And creating a distortion in Eretz Yisrael, the land rejects the people. And therefore, this is one of the causes of Golos. Then we said the land is Kodesh. The land is sanctified. Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate Gilu Arayos, cannot tolerate acts of immorality, of adultery, incest, and so forth. This we give a shir in Achrei Meis Kedushin, because that's contrary to Kedusha. Kedusha means when a person elevates himself above the physical level. He sanctifies the physical level. This is Kedusha. Opposite of that is when he sinks into the physical level, like a level of an animal. This is the difference between man and the animal. Animal was given a physical level and that's it. Man can elevate himself and become Kodesh. And Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh Mishar HaRotzesh. Is more elevated and sanctified than all of the other lands. It's not just a piece of land. It's a land which every particle of the soil has sanctity in it to the point where it's full of mitzvahs. And therefore, if there's Gil Arayish, if there's acts of immorality in Eretz Yisrael, this totally distorts the level of Eretz Yisrael. And it states, Vatoki Yashesheho, that the land vomits out the people. So that's the second cause of Golos. Then we said that the third level was Eretz Achayim. It's a land which gives life. Torah tells us that if there's Shvichas Domim in Eretz Yisrael, if there's murder in Eretz Yisrael, it states, Vatit Ma'aretz, this causes impurity to the land. If it's a land which gives life, it's a land which can thrive on life, can tolerate life, thrives on life, but cannot tolerate death. If there's death, if there's the spilling of blood, then this causes a golos. And the fourth level is, we said that Eretz Yisrael lacks nothing. Now, when something lacks nothing, this means it's complete, then is given a mitzvah of shvisa, to rest. We find that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, for 6 days he worked, and then he saw the world and he says, it is perfect. He told me, oh, it is very good, it lacks nothing. And then he commanded Shabbos. Shabbos is a level which comes after something is complete. So Shabbos was given to the world. It was given to Yisrael, because Yisrael comes to a level of completeness, and then there's a level of Shabbos, to rest. It was given to Eretz Yisrael, only Eretz Yisrael. The seventh year that the land should rest is a mitzvah only to Eretz Yisrael. Because all of the other lands are not complete. But Eretz Yisrael is complete, then it must rest. If the Shvisa, if the seventh year is not kept, so then this distorts that level of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, in that it states, Golus Bala Eilam, the exile comes to Klal Yisrael Al Evdi Averizora, when there is idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, Al Gila Rais, when there is immorality, Shvichas Domim, the spilling of blood, Al Shmitas Oretz, and the seventh year is not kept. This totally eliminates, or partially eliminates, the Milus Oretz, the attributes of the land, and therefore the land reacts to it. It's a distortion. And the land reacts. Vatoki Yeshveho, and it vomits, it spits out its inhabitants. So we have this Mishnah, our Shiva Pronies. There are seven types of disasters. Bale Eilam, that come to the world, al Shiva Gufi Avera, and seven categories of Averas. And again, the underlying factor is that tragedies or disasters, they should not come, but they do not come because of their own course, or they do not come because of natural phenomena, but they come because of the acts of people and the acts of Israel. The world was not made to be full of tragedy. The world was made to be perfect. He told me, oh, it was made to be very, very good. But when there's a, when the handiwork of men destroy the world, then it malfunctions. And in return, we find all types of tragedies coming to the world, but which correlate with the deeds which caused them. And this goes back to what we began with, that when there is war, heaven forbid, or tzoris comes to Klal Yisrael, there's a mitzvah of chatzetzeres, and that the Rambam explains, in order that we should bring to our attention that what is coming upon the nation is not merely political or natural phenomena, but is from our deeds. And if we are aware of that, through the blowing of the Chatzetzeres, then we will attempt to change our deeds. And then when Neshatem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nizkartem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember you, Neshatem, and he will save us from all of our enemies and all of our tzoras.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.